What powerful demon can topple even the strongest person? Wavering, indecisive thought, unable to decide on the right course of action. What powerful demon can topple even the strongest person? Wavering, indecisive thought, unable to decide on the right course of action. Okay, so this is talking about the mental factor of doubt. Okay, so there's different kinds of doubt. In general, doubt is a two-pointed mind. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? Sometimes it's three or four-pointed. This one or that choice. Maybe this one or that one. Yeah. Nowadays, we have many more choices than people in the past had. So they say doubt is like trying to sew with a two-pointed needle. You stick the needle in and you can't move. The doubt, you know, there's no way you can take a stitch. So there's doubt inclined, you know, in a Dharma sense, you know, doubt inclined towards wrong views, doubt inclined towards right views, and doubt that's kind of somewhere in the middle. Yeah. What we want to go to, you know, we usually start out with wrong views and then go to doubt inclined towards the wrong views and then the middle doubt and then towards right views and then on to right views and so forth. But not only in terms of views, you know, Dharma views or view of emptiness or whatever, do we have doubts, but just in our own life. You know, should I do this or should I do that? And we sit there and we waver and we mull over it and we ponder it and we talk about it incessantly with 50 million different people to gather everybody's advice. And then we sit there and be confused. Yeah? Unless in the back of our mind we already know what we want to do, but we don't have enough confidence to do it, in which case we talk to the 50 million people until one of them tells us what we want to hear. And then we say, I'll follow that one. And ignore what everybody, the advice everybody else gave us beforehand. But, you know, I think in looking, I think doubt has a special kind of role in our culture because people have more opportunities now and more choices to make. And so then it's very easy to get confused because there's so many things that you could do or be or have. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, you're kind of standing here and say, well, should I do this or should I do that? And then the mind, it would like to try and do this, but if I try and do this, then I'll have to give up that. And I don't want to give up that. I want to keep the option open to do that, which means I can't do this. But if I do that, then I have to give up the option to do this, and I don't want to give up that either. So I want to have all my doors open. Yeah? And so then the C word becomes terrifying. And the C word is not cancer. It's commitment. You know, it's like because if I commit to one thing, I have to give up another. And I can't. No. You know? And so then we just stay there in the middle. Unable to do anything in our lives. Yeah? Because we can't make a commitment to anything because it might be the wrong decision. And so what we would really like is, I want to choose this, be able to do it for however long I feel like doing it, and if it doesn't work out, come back to the exact same moment in time where I am right now, and choose the other one and do that, knowing that that one would be better, except maybe it won't be the better, because if it were, then I should do that one first. So that would be good. Let me do that for a period of time, and then can't I come back to this moment again, rewind the time machine, you know, maybe 2 months, maybe 2 years, maybe 20 years, maybe your whole lifetime, you know? I don't like this decision I made, how I live my life. Can't I come back here and do it differently, choose the other option? Yeah. And so people just get paralyzed, not being able to move in their lives because of this fear of making the wrong decision, as if there is a pre-planned right and a pre-planned wrong. You know? And as if making the wrong decision will totally ruin your life forever. In other words, they don't give themselves the possibility of, okay, I will try that. If it doesn't work out, I will learn from the experience. And I'll think about, you know, what did I do that caused me to choose that, and what was going on, and so on. And I'll learn from it in some way so that I can go forward in my life. Because if you don't do that, then, okay, you don't want to make a decision. When you finally make a decision, you know, if it's not the glorious paradise that you thought it was going to be, then if you can't learn from it, you become very bitter. Yeah. And I think we've all met bitter old people, and that is miserable. Who wants to be a bitter old person? You know, so there has to be ability to decide, but also to learn from our decisions, you know, and to see it as a success when we have done something and even, you know, figured out, well, that wasn't the right course of action. I'll do the other thing, and then change course and do what we should do when we finally realize that and learn from our experiences. Okay, so there's actually quite a bit tangled up in this mind of doubt. And then, of course, the opposite to the mind of doubt is the impetuous mind, that an idea pops into our mind and we act on it immediately without thinking, you know, well, what are the long-term results and how is my decision going to affect other people? We just think, well, that sounds good. Let's commit my whole life to that right now. Yeah? And, yeah, so either way is not too wise. And actually, the inaction of not making a decision is an action. Yeah, and there are results that derive from not making a decision. Yeah, okay, so the interplay between using reason and practicality and so much as a criteria for making a decision and doing something because you feel it in your heart. And there's kind of the thing, well, how can I trust my reasoning and how can I trust my heart? Because sometimes our reasoning process is good. Sometimes our reasoning process is lousy. It's a bunch of rationalizations, like you say. Sometimes our heartfelt thing is really good, and sometimes our heartfelt thing is just pure emotional garbage. Yeah? So it's like, how do you know when you're having one reliable reasoning, reliable heart, or unreliable reasoning, unreliable heart? And for me, it's come through learning from experience, you know, and learning to detect in my own mind, because I can see when I'm making up an argument there, that sometimes there is a certain feeling in it, and I know there's an affliction involved in this one. The argument makes great sense, but there's a feeling in my mind, there's an affliction. Yeah, I need to stop and get rid of this affliction before saying anything. And then I'll work on it for a while, and then I'll be able to have a line of reasoning that inside feels calm, and I know there's no affliction with that. And then I know, okay, that's good to do. And then similarly with my heart, you know, it's, I know there's a certain quality of the mind when, or feeling or texture in the mind, flavor of the mind, I don't know what word to use to describe it, a certain kind of feeling when I know it's garbage. You know, if I stop myself, I know this is garbage. Yeah, this is not right. Yeah, and so similarly, if I wait and work myself through that until there's, you know, kind of an emotion that feels clean and clear. But also what I've noticed is for me, my reasoning and my emotions go very much together. Yeah, because if I have a good line of reasoning, my heart feels very calm. And if I have a lousy line of reasoning, I'm agitated, you know? And if I'm agitated, if I look behind that, I'm usually rationalizing and making something up or blaming somebody. Or if I have a good kind of emotional feeling, there's usually, you know, some reasoned decision-making process in there. So I don't see those two things as totally different. Yeah? So can doubt be positive if you're doubting a wrong view? In that way, yes, because remember I said there was doubt inclined towards the wrong view and doubt inclined towards the right view? The one inclined towards the right view is definitely better than the one, you know. So if you have a wrong view, you know, like nothing matters anyway, and you begin to think, well, no, things do matter, you know, and I can create happiness and I can create suffering for self and others. You know, you may not be totally sure about it, but that positive doubt is definitely, it's leading you in the right direction. Yeah, because that nihilistic view is definitely a dead end. So often when we are trying to be a people pleaser, we get very stuck in doubt. This is a very good point, because it's like, I want to make that person happy because then they'll do something that will make me happy. Yeah. Or I want to make that person happy because then they'll like me. And I want to be liked. I don't like being disliked. Or I want to say something nice to this person because then they'll say something nice about me, or they'll nominate me for the promotion or whatever it is. You know? So, but then the doubt comes in, because inside we know that our motivation isn't right. Yeah? We know that somewhere inside, and yet we're like, I'm so attached to my reputation and my praise and approval that I've got to come up with some good reason that pleasing this person is really the right thing to do. Yeah? But you can't come up with a good reason when the motivation is lousy. Yeah? It just isn't to be had. So that's, I think, when you know, what I actually find it quite exciting about Dharma practice, when I get to that point and then I go, my motivation is lousy. Look at me. I'm trying to be a people pleaser. Finally, I figured it out. You know, this has been a habit and that's plagued me how much in my life? And now at least I can see it clearly. This is great. Yeah, that's a very good point too, that often, why are we indecisive? Because our criteria is not which choice will help me practice the path, what choice will help me develop bodhicitta, what choice will help me live a more ethical life. Our criteria is, how will I experience the most pleasure? Yeah, and then we get tied up, you know, oh, that looks good, that looks good too. Yeah, and then when pleasure is the criteria, we never know what's going to bring us the most pleasure. And then we sit there and worry about it. Yeah, because who wants to have grade B pleasure when we can have grade A pleasure? So we stay in a mental state of grade C pleasure because we're so neurotic about the whole thing. Yeah. So you make a choice, but you never fully live that choice because maybe you should have lived the other one. So then, well, I chose this, but maybe today's the day I should go back and do that one. But no, maybe I should wait until tomorrow and give it a little bit longer chance before I change my mind and go back to this one. You know, I mean, we just make ourselves so tangled up. It's awful. We want some resolution very quickly, and you know, like you said, we make a choice, but we don't really live the choice. Yeah, because maybe it's the wrong one, and maybe I really want to do this. But then, unless we really engage with the choice, we never fully experience it, so we never really know if it's the right choice. So you've made a choice, but actually you're still back at point zero, you know, sitting on the fence, and you're a turkey sitting on the fence, and Thanksgiving is coming. Yeah. And you're exposed sitting on that fence. So, yeah. And but doubt is very uncomfortable. Yeah, we offer quick resolution, make a quick decision. Yeah, and then keep doubting it afterwards. And because, like you said, there's a lack of self-confidence. It's like, okay, I'm going to make this, I'm thinking about this, I'm making this decision as best as I possibly can now. I'm going to live it fully. And I have basically, I don't have a lot of control.
And nothing to lose.
And nothing to lose, you know. And so as long as I keep my ethical discipline, as long as I learn from the situation, it's not going to turn out entirely awful. Okay.